Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we feature an interview with John Pascalone, the new president of Resorts Atlantic City, about what he's found since he's come home. Pascalone started his casino career in Atlantic City many years ago before leaving to direct the slot operations at Foxwoods. Later, he joined the Senecas running their Niagara Falls property and later taking on the entire gaming company for the tribe. Since joining Resorts, he has found Atlantic City to be a challenging operating environment during a challenging period, and he discusses his strategies and expectations with Casino Connection Atlantic City managing editor Marjorie Preston at his offices in Resorts in September. Preston begins by asking Pascalone how important customer service is in the overall scheme of things.
You know, I don't think anybody's talked about service in the city, customer service, also being a major issue as far as keeping people coming back. And it's as important as anything else we do here. And that's, I don't know about you, but I'd rather go to Cheers than to go to some high-end type of establishment that doesn't know who I am or doesn't care who I am. I'm just somebody walking through the door and I'll take your money and see you later. I like to see us more of as a Cheers where everybody knows your name when you come in, as the song goes.
So that's the way you think that the Resorts will characterize itself to compete the luxury and the high end, and not to say that you don't have your own level of comfort and luxury.
We have a great employee base here. These people really care about this property, and I found that out when I got here. We have a lot of long-term employees who know everybody that walks in. People have been here. I've seen more people here that have been 25 years in this building. It really surprised me. But they care about the building. They care about the customers that walk in here. And it shows. Mm-hmm. It's just pride.
I mean, this is the flagship casino also. Mm-hmm. And so it's got to be, just by dint of being here for 30 years, the best known. And people, I'm sure, have a lasting affection for that. But do you plan to target a whole new demographic and bring in the younger folks, like the way that higher end casinos are doing?
Our demographic is everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not old. It's not young. It's really from young to old. And I think if you look at like a Boogie Nights, which is our nightclub, and we really obviously play up the disco theme. I sometimes on a Saturday night will see people in there from 21 years of age to 60 years of age, you know. So it's an interesting demographic that comes in there, and that's us. I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're just giving people a reason to come here.
Mm-hmm. What impact, John, do you think that the election will have on the economy and therefore on everything else that happens business-wise in this country?
I think that remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. To sit here and comment on that is difficult at best. I think both candidates bring ideas to the table. I'm still not sure what they may be.
Mm-hmm. But I guess we'll find out in the next
We'll find out months. Once the election is over. I think you'll definitely see a concrete, program or set of plans in place to deal with the economic issues that face us today. But it's going to be a long road, and it's going to be a difficult one.
It might bring at least a renewed vigor.
Yes.
People to know that there's going to be a change, whether it's a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn. Mm-hmm. You come from an organization, the Senecas, that is still expanding, and you're coming back to Atlantic City, which is kind of fending off competition from other states. Are there principles that you developed or were part of when you were in upstate New York that you can bring to Atlantic City that apply to Atlantic City?
Anything that would change the landscape in Atlantic City, my initial answer would be no. Mm-hmm. We concentrated. We were lucky. We had a favorable market up there. Our competition was across the river in Canada. Beautiful billion-dollar property across the river. And I would have loved to have had some of that Canadian business, but it's difficult getting across the border, especially with cash in your pocket. There's huge Asian population in Toronto we couldn't tap into. So we concentrated on the local market, the Buffalo market, and about 150 miles southeast and west of us. Not west of us, we couldn't go any farther in New York, but east of us, I'm sorry. And concentrated on the bottom line. So we developed the business slowly and watched our margins, watched what we were spending on programming, brought in some really good entertainment, gave the Western New York basically something that was missing all along the way.
Were you the first in that market?
Yes.
Okay. And what kind of entertainment would you say was appealing to
pretty,
people?
Pretty similar to what you see in Atlantic City, just a lot of headliners. We had, for instance, I mean, we're lucky because we were along an area unlike Atlantic City, but like an Alice Cooper would come through on a routing, and he'd be going to Canada, but he'd have to come through to Buffalo to get to wherever his destination was in Canada. And here's a good case in point is we picked him up on Halloween night.
Great.
In a 400, good timing. And we didn't have a full-blown theater at that time. We had our... I shouldn't say it was a full-blown theater, but it only held about 400 people. But for $7,500, we had Alice Cooper on Halloween night with the snake, the whole deal. It was unbelievable.
Snake's still performing.
We had Cyndi Lauper up there, same thing.
That's good fun.
We had great entertainment up there, but it wasn't a competitive market. So when you look at Niagara Falls versus Atlantic City, from a competitive standpoint, you know, I couldn't compete here, you know, with the Borgata, for instance. I mean, they're, you know, cost of access really, actually out of, you know, it's out of our control at this point, but it's right. The competitive environment that drives the price.
Well, do you consider yourself a competitor to Borgata? Because when you left Atlantic City the last time, Borgata was not here. Mm-hmm. And now it's here, and now that people are holding this up as the standard. And do you do that, or just say, look, we're just something altogether, we're a different animal, a different species?
No. I mean, everybody's a competitor. I mean, we compete with the Taj, we compete with Showboat, and, you know, Borgata, whoever else. I mean, it is what it is. And you do the best you can, you know, with the product that you have, and I think we have a great product here. Everybody has something different to offer. If you walk around the casino floor and you watch people playing slot machines, for instance, there's not one card on their keychain. There's five or six or seven. You know, we're sharing our business in this town, and what we need to do is help to develop that business further, and that's unfortunately what I alluded to earlier, the midweek business and the Philadelphia and New York markets that have siphoned off in Pennsylvania markets up, you know, Scranton area have really had an impact, certainly during midweek at least.
Well, how about the weekends? How are you doing?
Weekends are okay. Again, not quite as strong as I'd like to see them, but they're better than the weekdays, obviously.
Right. Let me see what we have here. As part of this pie, this kind of thing, it's all sliced up into the retail and the shopping, well, retail and shopping, dining, great lodgings, gaming. Do you think that the gaming still takes precedence as the main slice of that pie, and is that the thing that's going to drag the people?
Yeah, it's a combination of everything, but gaming is our business. That's the business we're in. The entertainment, the shopping, it gives people other options. You can't expect somebody to come in here for 2 or 3 days and game 24 hours a day. They need diversions besides the gaming. Sometimes it's best to get up and go and do a little shopping or go eat in a great restaurant. Again, walk on the boardwalk and enjoy the ocean, the weather. We need more than just gaming here. There's no doubt about it.
But that is the premier draw in your view?
In my opinion, it certainly is. Otherwise, we might as well take the word casino off of our buildings.
And I don't think that's going to happen anytime
soon. I don't think it
soon.
Is either.
Okay, so, Boogie Nights. Is that, we were talking about that a little earlier. Is that lightning in a bottle, or is that the result of, like, long-standing demographic studies, something that becomes that popular and now has its imitators in this city?
It is lightning in a bottle from where it came. Or came from, but it is just flat out fun. You've got to really come and see it, and people love to dance. And
are you among them? Do you like to dance?
I am not. No, I'm not. No, not me. If you look at today's music, there's nothing wrong with it, but you can't. You know, there are not a lot of tunes out there that you can really dance to. And when you see that dance floor, you know, we used to go to clubs, you used to see two or three people up there sometimes dancing, and by, you know, later in the night, I mean, the dance floor was filling up, but this dance floor, you know, from 10 o'clock on is flat out, it's just full. Mm-hmm. And people are having just a fun time.
And do you try to kind of predict the, replicating that? I mean, not the same thing, but how do you kind of come up with things that are that phenomenal, or can you ever will a phenomenon to happen?
It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. I mean, if I could take boogie nights and just move it on the casino floor and just boogie night the whole casino and have that kind of fun and action, that would be a major home run.
Okay. Do you think that you have the right game mix here? Do you need to increase the presence of poker or table games or anything like that?
I think currently our game mix is good. We're not a poker house. We don't pretend to be. And, you know, so yes, the answer is the game mix is where I think it should be at this point in time. We're always going to refine our slot product. We're updating it constantly. Mm-hmm. Every year we dedicate capital to making sure that we have the newest and best equipment out on the casino floor.
Very good. Okay. We have a few more questions. As the oldest casino in town, I mean, that designation can make you seem like the classic casino, or it can seem a little shop-worn. How do you, you know, change up your marketing to make yourself seem new and fresh, or is that even your goal?
Well, first of all, we're not the oldest casino in town.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe part of us might be.
Oh, okay.
But there's also the Rendezvous Tower, which is only 4 years old at mm-hmm. this point, along with a good portion of the casino also is new. So we like to think of ourselves as someone who knows what they're doing, have been in the business for an awfully long time, but also offer some of the newer amenities you'll find at some of the newer properties. I mean, an example was the hotel. Example is the, you know, the slot equipment.
Sure.
Table games, same thing. I mean, we're up to date on everything we do here. Capriccio's is a Zagat-rated restaurant that consistently gets high marks year after year. If you haven't eaten at Capriccio, we have Gallagher's Steakhouse, mm-hmm. great steakhouse out of New York. We have Asian Spice, another wonderful Asian restaurant. Of course, our coffee shops and the buffet. So, you know, it's don't like to think of us as old. Classic sounds old. We're kind of in between. And we pride ourselves, again, on upkeep of this property and making sure that our guests have a memorable experience once they've been here.
I understand there aren't any expansion plans at the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee, you know, in years to come that you might expand into your adjacent parcel, the former Chalfont site, and if not, what do you envision long-term for that piece of ground?
Again, it's a tough question to answer only because of the economic mood at this point in time. Plans come and go. Plans change. You know, could be on one day, off the next. I can't answer. I don't know.
It's like a daily pulse-taking, would you say?
Occasional pulse-taking, but remains to be seen what the market demands are. You know, when you look at a Revel, who now decided they're going to build one tower, when you've got Pinnacle, you know, holding off on building at all up there, and you look out even in, you know, outside the jurisdiction into Las Vegas and how those major projects out there have now basically been suspended. Mm-hmm. There's reasons. And the reasons you don't do master planning today for 2 or 3 years from now is because that market is going to change in 2 to 3 years. So you're kind of throwing mud against the wall right now, and you're not getting, you know, you're not going to be utilizing what you plan today for 3 years from now.
But at the same time, do you pencil in, even if you don't make a firm plan?
Let's just say you think about it. You know what? But you've got to be looking into a crystal ball 3 years from now. I mean, I see the city, you know, really starting to concentrate on the conference and convention business. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's going to put people in the rooms. More cash business into the buildings, you know, hotel and restaurant business. We're going to be looking for all kinds of ways. So, in essence, it makes us all a little more creative, keeps us on our toes, and continually just strive to, you know, drag that down to the bottom line, because that's what it's about today.
Absolutely. Well, then you do not have an answer to the what do you see for 5 years down the road question.
I can't. I as far as resorts is concerned,
I
really, see us being a player in this market, for sure. I just can't tell you to what extent, again, the market will dictate where we're going to go.
Understood. Well, listen, welcome back to New Jersey. I'm sure that you hopefully were warmly welcomed by your former colleagues, and we'll all have to just wait around and see what the next page brings.
Well,
it'll be a fascinating story, I'm sure.
I'm happy I'm back. Actually, I was here from 2000 to 2002, so it was like coming home for me.
Mm-hmm.
See a lot of the same faces here. And it's great to be home in Jersey.
It's lovely to have you, and John Pasqualoni, thank you very much
for
giving us some time and
thank
joining us
much.
On the Boardwalk Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about this or any subject, visit our websites at ggvmagazine.com or casinoconnection.com. To stay in touch with the industry, subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the industry's only comprehensive electronic news magazine delivered to your desk every Monday morning. Download subscription forms at the Global Gaming Business website. For now, thanks for listening to the Global Gaming Business Podcast.